Well, okay, so I guess let's I'll have one more question to ask, and I just sort of it's a good sum up question in that we're all on our own journeys through life. Do you have any advice for younger kids or people who are just starting on their journey? I mean,
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't want to be a pontificating guy here, you know.
I don't know if it's so much about rules as it is maybe about approach.
Yeah, the approach is to stay in discovery. It really is to stay in discovery. I used to say this when I used to teach workshops around the world. No matter who I taught them to, the Navy SEALs or a big corporation, I used to say something like, what if the biggest joke of all, this is what somebody told me, or I read it somewhere, but what if the biggest joke of all is that every person you meet is the Buddha or Christ pretending they're not? Now, if you really consider the statement, it has the capacity to change your life. So wherever you are, whatever the situation, there's Buddha or Christ or whoever great leader you have in your head, right there, providing you with an opportunity to learn. So say you find yourself waiting in line, really anxious. You're upset with the stupid checkout person who's ponderously slow, and the bureaucrat who's really antagonistic in front of you. No, right then. You recognize, okay, that's what I'm feeling. Then that's when you get centered. Then you see that person, that checkout person in this case, as, hey, there's the Buddha in disguise. There it is. You're not going to trick me. You want me to learn patience and non-judgment. All right, I'm going to prove that to you. And I go into patience and non-judgment at that moment. See, if people could do that, it would be really supportive of them. Man, it's pretty simple. I'm talking to you like I'd talk to a bunch of elementary school kids, because they can sort of get this, right? So you find yourself with an upset customer somewhere, and a disgruntled coworker, and you just, instead of employing that pattern of defensiveness or putting on that mask, being too busy to deal with it, there you see them. You look at them, you go right through their eyes, and oh, there's the great teacher hiding mischievously. You're making up that mask of anger. You're testing me. So now I'm going to be a compassionate listener. I'm going to fuck you up. You're trying to get me to be the same old terrible person I am. So there you are. So you're just dealing with that almost as a game of, I know who you are. I know who's between, underneath that look. So perhaps the hardest, most important of all is in your own home. Those are your ideal mentors. Those are your little Buddhas. Those are the ones, and they're trying to wake you up, but because they're in these disguises, oh, that's my kid, that's my wife, you're fooled. But they're the ones that are most dedicated to making sure you give the gifts of growing, of learning, of love. So, and then when you find them dancing or singing, when you find a kid going out like you guys used to do in all your stories, which every kid has, and you wrote some beautiful ones, and you're doing all your mischief, that's when you as a parent go, ah, that's the great teacher, the Buddha underneath that kid, showing me how to appreciate the blessings of life. That's what that kid's doing. And I got to get off of this as that's my kid. No, that's the little Buddha, teaching me the blessings of life. That's why they're dancing. That's why they're singing. That's why they're doing something outrageously stupid outside. There's life. That's probably, if that's useful to you, okay.
Well, it goes into also part of that whole family thing, and that is family of blood, or is family that what you create. And the truth is, it's the network of people that you bring into your fold become your family. And it's, whether the person's famous or not, or whether this or that. It's really about those people that we bond with that become our family. And it feels to me like it's important to realize who those people are. You know what I mean? When you see...
Absolutely.
When you're sharing all... It really, what bonds us together is what we share, all the things we share in life that we go through. You know, it's when we come together that experiencing things that we get to bond, you know. And that's, again, those trips that you guys designed for Outward Bound and all the schools did it in Aspen, was amazing experience for all the kids. And then to hear that they're thinking, maybe questioning whether they should even have it, is like, wow, oh my God, that's like the whole... That's the whole special thing that we got out of Aspen, you know?
That's the deal. That's what brings the people together. That's why, you know, you and Chris and Dean and Lo, I mean, you guys tried to sort of wake up the present community to say, hey, I just don't want you to forget the adventures of the Aspen kids. And if you do forget it, you're gonna shut down those programs, and we don't want you to.
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm glad because that is sort of what we were hoping for, was to just sort of get people to think a little bit about it. Like when you guys did WinStar, it was really just to get people together and to have them think about certain things, you know, and get excited about it. And it feels like that's sort of what I was hoping with our book, in a certain way, was to sort of wake up the sleepy person and sort of get, because there's, you know, the new and old, it's a relationship and you have to build it, you know? And there's a way in which it's not like, oh, the new people are going to take over and all this stuff. There are ways where everybody can work together on stuff. There's a support system that can come into play where the haves can help the have nots and they can feel good about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not as if, It's you know, part of the growth on both sides is about learning how to connect with folks, not isolate. You know, I feel like the whole VIP thing, I understand when John Denver's on stage and people need to, you know, there's a protection zone and all that kind of stuff. But in a regular community, the VIP thing, that didn't happen at the Def Camp picnic.
No, never happened. Everybody, that's what I'm saying. Never happened in Madison Square Garden with John.
Yeah.
Because you could get up on the stage, because you could do that, no one did it.
Right.
Put a barrier up in front of that stage. That was our context. And then everyone wants to climb the barrier. Who's the young guy that's, I can get over there. I can jump up on that high stage. I can elude the couple of big guys with the big shirts on. You know, no, this is the... Who's the idiot that's going to step onto a stage that anyone could step on?
Right. Well,
so it's amazing how that works.
It is. And I feel like it's your incorporation of how you look at the world definitely has been passed on through a lot of kids, your own, as well as the community. And I feel like that's such a big piece of a lot of the kids, and that's why we wrote the book, was in a way of saying thanks to all those folks and all those people that, you know, it's not the names that donated to the tent, you know, it's the names that volunteered and helped out or had some suggestions that changed things that all of a sudden now they're doing because some person got involved, you know. And it feels to me like that's the part of the community that is the strength and the pillar. You know, it's, Aspen, you know, I feel like there's this thing too that happens where the new folks are worried about the clans folks. You know, I mean, you came there when you came there. I came there when I came there. But there are families that were there from way long ago, like the Wagners and the, you know, even the Clappers and there's just so many families that have been around in that valley, the Jerbaz, that it's a different, you can't, again, like you say, that defensive mechanism, you can't, it's a different deal. These are generations of people that grew up here before it was Aspen. you know? And that's I feel like there's a certain sense of respect that I had coming there that just naturally it happened because of who they were. I didn't want to step on their toes, and I felt like I wanted to be part of their world. So my intent was to sort of respect and honor those, the Melvilles and the Moores. You know what I mean? Because they
absolutely
the Marolts. And I feel like that's where, when you get removed and you don't get to see that, all of a sudden you don't know that really exists. And that's why putting it out there kind of opens that door. And hopefully it did that, you know?
Yeah, for those who read it, you know, it's books are hard for people to even read anymore for some reason. I mean, isn't it amazing? I mean, people, that's why you're thinking about the podcast business. Who's reading anymore?
Well, and we are going
to.
I think we are. We're almost ready to put out the audiobook, but I wanted to wait for the audiobook to come out. And I've got, you know, various folks that do the voices. One guy is from American Pie, so we have some folks that might be known, but the whole idea is more about capturing our personalities in the book, you know? And so I feel like that stays true to the whole idea of connecting.
That's great.